episode 902.
Oh, it feels like it. Fucking hell. Anyway, glad that we were recording.
Till I still have gum in my mouth.
Why do you do that every day? Don't swallow it. Did you swallow it? Mm. Oh, for God's sake. Okay. Well,
we're so close to each other. I want to know that my
wine. It's like
breath smells fresh.
How are you supposed to have a proper palate for the wine?
Okay, but we've never had a proper palate. I certainly haven't.
No, that's true. I don't either.
No. Mine is like a garbage one.
But we're definitely reviewing it with like chewing gum taste. Well, I'm not. You are.
I always brush my teeth, but now this week we're recording at yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you would have loved it if I was just starting up with your toothbrush.
No, that would have ended a friendship.
Yeah. Ditto. No. Oh, imagine.
No, it wouldn't have worked.
Oh, no. My worst.
And also, I mean, I don't brush my teeth. Do you feel like I should before we... I mean, and don't be funny now.
Okay, but what is the point of this podcast then?
Well,
if I'm not allowed to be funny.
No, true. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the wine.
Breath.
Actually, wine breath, which is fucking gross.
Mm.
But not if you just keep drinking it. I find if you're both drinking wine.
We're not Frenching later, so it's fine.
Thank God.
All right.
Okay, so I bought the wine this week.
Yeah.
And an expensive bottle.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. A little Bouchard Finlayson.
Is it not Finlayson?
No, it's with an A.
Oh, but... Well, I don't know.
No,
you're probably 100% correct. I just like saying Bouchard Finlayson.
Yeah, I think it's because you're trying to sound fancy.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also my life.
Well, I went to varsity with the son.
Oh, a Bouchard or a Finlayson?
A Finlayson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you would know.
And so he is now at, I would say Gabriel's Kloof, but I think you'd say Gabriel's Kloof.
Yeah, Gabriel's Kloof. And or Gabriel's Kloof,
Yeah. And also he has a lovely wine with his brother, Christellum?
Oh, Christellum.
Christellum, yeah.
Yeah, that white label.
Yes. Mm, okay.
That's so lovely.
That maybe must be the next one or whatever. When I can afford it, Peter Allen, just putting that out there, send me a bottle.
Yeah. Do you want to put your notifications on your computer?
It's going to go onto my phone now as well. So I'm just going to quick turn that onto your...
Just a quick silence
onto there. Silence.
Yeah. Some consideration, please.
Cool.
So people think you take this seriously.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do. So this is a 2019 Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I bought it is because we actually don't ever buy very often Sauvignon Blanc over R100.
Yeah.
So this was on special on Get Wine, 44% off.
Wow.
So it's normally like 159 or around there, probably there and thereabout. And I got it for 89 rand a bottle. So I bought it because I was so interested in tasting it. And I haven't been drinking Sauvignon Blanc for a while because I've been on the rosé.
Yeah. No, on the pink train.
On
choo,
the
choo.
Pink, choo, okay. Rosé all choo, day.
Choo, 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 vomit down for me sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, that pink bomb hit. Mm. Anyways, so I'm enjoying this. I find it to be quite acidic for me because I think I've been drinking rosé a lot.
Yeah.
But you can taste it's an expensive wine, and I think that's probably what my palate...
What does that taste like?
Well, I'm not sure. I've never drank that before. So, but it is, it's like a very, I feel like you do need a bit of more of a developed palate for it. I think so. Where, old husband who loves Iona and Ataraxia, and which is obviously in that same valley, because this is Hillman Arda,
is Walker Bay.
Yeah. It's got a very sort of distinct Sauvignon Blanc taste to it or acidity to it.
Well, normally it's the sea air. They claim that it's obviously to do with soil and
terroir.
It's that word. But obviously the cold ocean breeze obviously affects the grapes. It must.
Yeah, I mean, my first glass, I was like, ooh, I don't know. Like, I'm a bit like, maybe I shouldn't have gone this route. And now my second glass, I'm actually quite enjoying it. I think also because you put 7,000 blocks of ice in the first one.
Well, it's a hot day in Cape Town.
No, it is. Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now I've only got 3 blocks of ice in, which again, I'm sure the winemaker won't be thrilled about that. But
oh, come on. We're South African. People need to get over that.
Yeah, we just
summer.
Drink it with ice.
I would put... Why a good blocks of ice and expensive wine as well. If it enhances my enjoyment of the wine, fuck it.
Yeah, then you should be enjoying it. Don't you want people to enjoy
it? I like the wines from Hibble and Arda, but I was saying to you earlier, I prefer a Pinot Noir from from that area, because I really think they make the nicest Pinot Noirs in the country.
Does Bouchard Finlayson make a Pinot Noir, don't they?
I think they do, but I think it's way out of my price
range. No, but I think I'm almost certain.
Like hundreds of rands.
That's Peter Finlayson, the winemaker. He's like known for that, and he was known that developing it in that region. I think like that's a whole, like a bit of a history lesson there. Hey.
Oh.
I'm so worldly.
Don't quote that, because while Juliet might claim it's a history lesson, we don't know if it's true.
It might not be Pinot Noir. It might actually just be like Pinotage or something. I have no idea.
Like microbeer.
Oh, no. Hey, on the back here. A family-owned boutique winery where heaven meets earth, inspired by genuine passion, founded by the pioneer of Pinot Noir, who was the first winemaker in the Hillman Otter Valley.
Did you just read the label earlier and then you set that up?
I didn't, actually. I should have. I mean, okay. But anyways, I like this wine here. It says the wine is crisp, signaling. Whoa. Confirmed structure and good but gentle acid balance. How is that gentle?
I don't think it's that gentle. I had some earlier. I struggled with that.
With a fresh lingering finish, always crisp, never outspoken.
Oh. Mm. Oh, it's not your kind of wine then.
No. Okay. No, fair point. But so like I said, so the price we mentioned everything. But yeah. I'm actually quite happy to drink it. I think I'll be totally pissed after this. But it's actually not, it's only 13%.
Okay, that's fine.
Which is better. What are you drinking? Because you are drinking a rosé now.
Yeah. So I'm on the rosé. So I love Sauvignon Blanc, but I've had 3 nights in a row of drinking Sauvignon Blanc. And I think that's
Should we
maybe,
have an intervention?
Yeah. Why I was struggling with that one a little bit earlier, like the acidity was just a little bit too
strong. Oh, you were also drinking cheap lockdown wine?
No, last night we had Gabriel's Kloof Sauvignon Blanc, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that is
And
good.
Had it with a curry. Interesting. Like I asked we went for like a private like curry lesson from it's called
As the Privileged Do.
No, it's affordable, but and I can't remember the place's name at all. But I asked the guy before, like, what wine do you drink with what kinds of curries?
Mm-hmm.
And we were making Northern Indian curry. And he said generally, whether it's chicken or lamb or beef or whatever, red wine is always ideal. So even if you're using white meat, because of the like mixtures of spices, like red wine just complements a curry much better than white wine.
I mean, I feel
wine.
Like that's obvious. How did you not know that? You never have curry and white wine.
We made a coriander chicken curry last night, so I thought Sauvignon Blanc or Rosé would be ideal. And it was, like the Gabriel's Kloof Sauvignon Blanc went beautifully with it, but also curry is maybe more a wintry dish. I mean, I was schwitzing through that entire thing, nearly slipped off my chair. Sitting in a pool of my own sweat.
Oh, beautiful.
For a mild curry.
It's a stunning image.
Not a bloody vindaloo, even.
No, oh, okay. Mild. So, but then you look at Durban. Durban's hot.
Yeah.
And, you know, and humid and whatever. And so, like, my aunt, who lived there for so long, loves a curry on a hot day. She's sort of like, she'll be like, let's make a curry. And I'm like, oh, but it's so hot. And she's like, and?
Well, I think you obviously get used to the climate. And you get used to eating hot food a lot. For me, with a curry, like an ice cold beer is always the best thing. So I'm having, it's called David Nivot, Cedarburg Private Cellar. I've never heard of it.
No, never.
And it says produced exclusively for Woolworths, which I didn't see earlier. So, and Pekingese Kloof, which is obviously like off the N7. It's a rosé.
And how much did it cost?
$70. 80 bucks? 70 or 80 bucks.
And actually, is it good?
I like it. I like it. I think you would also Corona.
Yeah, well, shame.
Fine. It's a
it's got a lovely nose.
Oh, yeah, the aromas. Huh.
It really very berry-ish. Or is it the Coca-Cola that you put in here first that you had a drink out of, by the way?
Well, I needed to recover from that acidic bloody wine you were drinking from the fancy people. So old David Nivot isn't that fancy and his wine's lovely.
And it's very fruity.
I think this is new to Woolies. I've never seen it before. Mm. So I thought like I would, if I'm like in doubt, I get Canon Corp Cadet Rosé because I love it. But this is a gem from a tenacious, forgotten land. But no, I've driven on the N7 a lot. I don't think it's forgotten. You see it.
But people we forget about it.
People like a camp and a hike in the Cedarburg, so they know about it.
And the ostriches, you're not a hoot, you know, they're laying eggs.
Okay, but
or getting late.
We're talking about 3 hours up the N7, not that place at Melrose.
Oh, I see.
Capturing the flavors of old, unirrigated bush vines. So these people don't love irrigating their vines.
All right.
Got that. Pairs well with seafood or freshly made sushi.
This is lovely. Oh, I got you sushi here.
Yeah, we're going to do sushi for Asada. I love this. I think it's fabulous value for money. It's got a nice label.
What's the alcohol percentage?
There's a deconstructed picture on the label of a man with what appears to be four arms. So we'll ignore that. Okay. Or maybe a coat.
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
What is the percentage?
12.5.
Oh, nice. Okay, I can drink that.
Yeah. Alcohol reduces driving ability. So that's interesting on the label.
Especially
considering what we're doing.
Yes.
Here.
But anyway.
So lovely wine. I give it a 9.5 out of 10.
Great. Okay. We don't rate the wines on this podcast, but okay. Now you do.
Okay. But that platter guy can. So why can't
we? Okay. Fine. Okay. So this week we are chatting about the Ford Figo Freestyle.
Yes.
Which I had last week and actually quite enjoyed. I think it's a gap that Ford has had to plug. You know, because I mean, the Figo, very good seller, very good car. We've both driven that probably 1,000 times actually in the last couple of years or many years. But that always obviously went to Polo Vivo and Renault Sandero. And then now you've got the Sandero Stepway, and you've got the Vivo Max, which isn't, I don't think, on sale at the moment, or isn't, you can't get it at the moment on, you know,
I'm actually
brand
not
new.
Sure. I don't think I've seen one recently.
No, I went onto the VW's website. There's nothing, it's not even on there. So unless like maybe there's like something like a newer one coming, or I don't know, they've done a runoff and stuff, and it's just like boom, that's it for now. Okay. We should probably research that. But anyway,
oh, who cares?
Yeah, fuck it. So and then obviously Suzuki Ignis, and the recently launched Honda WRV, which we went on last year. That launch.
Yeah, which is obviously a bit bigger.
It's a bit bigger, but it is a competitor.
Yeah, there's a few $100 in it in monthly repayments. The Honda would be more, but and then Kia, which is a little bit smaller, but is launching the Picanto X line, which you and I are going on that launch in 2 weeks.
Yes. Okay. So that's gonna be interesting after we watch driving this. Cool. So I mean, like the whole appeal of these little crossovers, obviously, is like their sort of ground clearance. This one's got one that's 16 millimeters higher than the standard Figo. And then they're always like SUV style, like SUV inspired, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame. I always feel like, get them.
Yeah, there's some plastic. Yeah. They've added some plastic.
Yeah. But I quite enjoyed driving this car. It's got the 1.5 liter naturally aspirated engine, which is the same as the standard Figo with, I think it's like 91 kilowatts of power, 115 newton meters of torque. And if I'm not mistaken, it's got like 3 kilowatts more, does it, than the standard Figo?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I can't remember.
I mean, I should probably give our listeners a disclaimer here. I haven't driven this car.
Oh, yeah. You've driven the standard Figo.
I've driven the standard Figo, which obviously is basically identical.
Yeah. So scrap what I said about the 3 because I can't remember now. But I've had some wine. Like, look, the only thing I'd say is, like, I think you do miss a turbo somewhat, which in most cars these days you do, you know, but I took it on the highway and I had it around town obviously for a week and everything, and I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't frustrated driving it. It was actually lovely. The only thing, like, I was in a bit of a crosswind on the highway that was a bit harrowing, but the fuel consumption is really low at 5.5 liters per 100 km, which is very good, and I think it's easy to achieve that figure. I didn't get to it, but I've got a heavy foot.
Yeah, you do. Like a lead foot.
Yeah, I just like the word. I just.
It's those Manolo Blahnik stilettos of yours.
Yes. Have you ever seen me in heels?
Sorry, Yves Saint Laurent.
No. I like a good old tacky.
Woolworths.
Yes. Yes.
I agree with you. To me, the standout of this package actually is the engine. It's a 3-cylinder, so it's got like a quite a distinctive sound. I think it's got, I didn't miss a turbo actually when driving it.
And you mean when you were driving the Figo, the standard Figo?
Yeah, but I mean, it's same thing. And I also drove it in Joburg. So you would expect lack of a turbo, it would make a real difference. But I think the car definitely is light enough.
Yeah.
So you don't have to down gear constantly, which is lovely in a small car without a turbo.
Yeah.
And then it does the Ford things so well. Like it rides well. It's actually really enjoyable to drive. Lovely steering, good gearbox.
Fuss-free. And the clutch is really, like the gearbox, it's just a 5-speed manual gearbox. I always want an extra gear. I just always do. I always think a 6 gears just makes it much better. I didn't miss it as much as I usually do in this car. The clutch was really easy. And that's what I love. So like, you don't stall it a thousand times. Like it takes beautifully.
Toyota Agya.
Yeah, take note, please. Okay, but that's also like a lot cheaper than this. But you know, but I mean, speaking of the price, so this is priced at, so it's about 13,000 rand more than the standard Figo.
Okay.
So you're paying then obviously just for ground clearance and the extra little tidbits around. Yeah, yeah. Because all the sort of features inside, the safety features, all of that, because it's like a trained or a titanium. That's stock standard. It's the same as a standard Figo.
Yeah.
So you're starting off at the train with just over sort of 241,000 rand, and then the titanium just over 263,000 rand.
Yeah.
Which I kind of, you know, I spoke about this on Cape Talk with John Mathen the other day, and I said to him, like, I find it to be such good value for money for what it is that you're getting. Mm. I didn't feel like I was in like a very budgety car.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I would say is that if you maybe want something a little bit bigger, a Ford EcoSport is like 30,000 rand more, which is a lot if you're on a budget. I understand that. But you could get a secondhand or demo model, for obviously entry level Ford EcoSport, for around the same price.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. I think it's it is, for what it is and where it sits in the market, it's well priced. There is the EcoSport. I would certainly look at a Suzuki Ignis as well as an alternative.
Oh, I do like the Ignis.
And I happen to think that the Rio is actually like a lovely city car. So if you're in that market, see, we have no clue what the Rio is going to cost, the X line. But I would also just see
Rio. You talking about a Picanto?
Picanto.
Yeah, that threw me a bit.
Oh, the Picanto I actually completely despise. It's terrible.
Okay.
No, sorry.
I'm so confused
Do you know what? This is not the first time where I got confused between Rio and Picanto for some reason. The Picanto X line, I suspect my feeling is it might be a bit cheaper than the Ford because it is a smaller A-segment car.
Yeah.
Just see where that comes in.
Yes.
And then there's a new, the new Sendero looks so promising.
Okay.
Like the interior is a massive upgrade. It's just been like released in Europe. That I think it's coming this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I mean,
or maybe early next year. So that's something, if you can wait.
I mean, and I assume then they're going to bring in the Stepway. That might come later. It might come first. You never know, actually, sometimes.
Maybe.
And the Sendero Stepway, I actually thoroughly enjoy. I remember I had the first one back in the day when I was still at Car Magazine. I fucking hated that thing.
No, it was terrible. That first generation one was
terrible.
The
second generation was like chalk and cheese compared.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if you're playing in this segment, you've got actually some amazing choices. Because if someone came to me and said, well, I'm looking at the Figo Freestyle, the Sendero Stepway, a Polo Viva Max, even whatever, or Suzuki Ignis, I'd be like, go and test drive all of them. I think you'll be happy with whichever you're going to choose.
Isn't there a dud?
No, that's the thing. There isn't a dud. That's oh, nice way of putting that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'll play it.
My choice is the Ignis, but this Ford is a close second.
Yeah, okay. So what would we rate it? I mean, you can rate a standard Figo.
Yeah. I would... give it an 8. I think it's definitely one of Ford's better products.
Yeah.
It's a joy to drive. The thing is, small cars should be fun to drive. Like, remember back in the day, cars, a Renault 5 and the original Mini and the first gen Mazda MX-5. Like, small light cars were like a joy to drive.
Yes.
And this always reminds me of that.
Yeah, you're right. So I enjoy it too. So I think a good old 8, a rounded 8.
A rounded 8.
Okay,
nice.
Okay, so now we're going on to advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, this is going to be a surprise. So
yes, you don't know about it because Jess slipped into my DM with this. It always sounds so sexual when someone says that, by the way. I don't know. It freaks me out. But anyway.
Oh, did she send you a dick pic?
No, they asked me advice.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. And so.
Like a nip slip in a pic.
Yep. Well, that's kind of fun as well, though.
Yeah. Never mind a nip slip.
No, well, not if it's mine, but, you know, others.
No, you know, you don't want your
good
own.
Giggle. Yeah. Anyways, okay, so Jess currently drives a 2012 Polo Comfortline and absolutely loves it.
A 2012 Polo Comfortline, so that would be...
That must be two generations ago? No, a generation ago. Hey.
So that's just probably after the one the round like lights. Our friend Nico has, like when it was still the 1.4 and 1.6.
Yes.
Before they moved to the 1.2 turbo.
And not the round lights.
Not the round
lights. That was just after, yeah.
Okay.
I would think yes. Loves it, okay. But is now looking for something with a ground clearance to go adventuring, which I love that word.
Oh, nice.
And this actually, it's so interesting that this was advice. I genuinely got this Instagram message like 2 days ago, so it works out really well. So 90% of their driving is to work and back, 60 Ks a day.
Okay.
So they want something that's fuel efficient and they don't do crazy 4x4ing. So I thought, okay, I was almost like, okay, maybe like a Ford Figo Freestyle, but that's almost just one, I don't know, like a bit down.
What's
whatever.
Their budget?
Well, wasn't mentioned. So I said, without mentioning a budget, because that's actually quite tricky, but I assume if you're going from a 2009 Polo, you're not going to jump to a fucking Kia Sportage or a Merc, something else, you know. So then I said, we were back and forth thing, whatever, and I was like, something like a Duster maybe, or, and they suggested Vitara. They were also like, what about that? And I was like, between those, I think with what you need and fuel consumption, I would probably go with the Duster.
Yeah, if you get the diesel Duster, definitely. So they've got a 60K commute a day.
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume they would want an auto. So the Duster diesel EDC would be a good match.
Yeah.
I if you want some ground clearance for adventuring, doesn't sound like they don't want to do off-roading.
No.
But just go on gravel roads and stuff. Look at that that class where you've got that intersection of the Hyundai Venue.
Yes, or T-Cross.
T-Cross. Seltos is maybe a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, quite a bit actually.
What's the other Hyundai? If you want
Creta.
A bit more, Creta. Why couldn't I recall it?
Whoa! So much wag.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's just David Nivo. Now, if you go adventuring in Cedarburg, go to David Nivo Cedarburg Private.
Yeah,
Cedar.
Make sure you got a designated driver, but go.
Pekingese Kloof.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, past the ostrich farm, like two.
Yes, yeah, quite a way.
So, loads of options. Once again, don't buy new.
Yeah,
would advise you not to buy new, because then if you're looking at like the 300, 350 mark, which seems like a logical step up from the Polo, I would look at things like a Tucson and a Kia Sportage. And,
like very pre-owned.
Yeah, like a pre-owned one for like with 20,000, 30,000. Mazda, a CX-3 is small, maybe a CX-5. If you're willing to push your budget a little bit, you could get a lovely second-hand one.
Yes. I mean, I would push it in the opposite direction, okay. Because I think if you have a Polo, what a Polo was 2012 price-wise is so different to what it is now, like when you get a Polo and stuff. So if you bear in mind that maybe they've actually only got about 200 to 250,000 rand to spend, then you're not going to get into then you're going to go quite old sort of Sportage, okay. et cetera. So it would be more like either in this new and demo phase that we're speaking about now with the Ford Figo Freestyle, or going one up above that, which would then be like, if you look at the sort of T-Cross and Venue, what's they called? Competitors that have been in the game for a long time.
Yeah.
So their sort of older models might be better.
Okay, yeah. I was almost going with what does a new Polo cost now?
Yes.
And looking around that price point. Yeah. So 350.
Yeah, but you've also, like, you're very, you know, like much of a diva.
What the fuck does privileged, that have to do?
You know, lots of money. You know.
Cool, thank you. That's why I buy the 70 Rand Rosé.
And oh, and I buy the 89 Rand.
A very fancy Sauvignon Blanc from one of the wine farms in this country.
It's because I don't spend a lot on cars, you see.
I
don't spend anything on cars. Yeah, and you just bought, I realized.
I bought the cheapest possible car.
No, 100%. I've really got this all wrong.
Oh, Jean has a new Clonk now, so that's worrying because it also sounds expensive.
Oh, shit.
Which is not fun. So, yeah, but if you want to keep it a little bit cheaper, a little bit smaller, again, look at the Suzuki Ignis. It's got the ground clearance.
And you just made a good point. Actually, look at a Forester.
And look at a Forester. If you can, genuinely, if you can look at... Say your budget's 300.
No, right? Say 250.
Say 250. You can get a very decent Forester.
And then you can actually go for Y4-ing.
And you can go for Y4-ing. And yeah, it's going to last you a very long time.
Fuel consumption not great, though.
Fuel consumption isn't great. But
you just that, repeat everything I say. Do you realize?
I do repeat everything you say. And I, okay, and I do realize. But Jules, your wisdom is so sage.
Oh, it's astounding. Astounding.
Timeous and relevant. Yeah, really.
It really, really is. Yeah. Okay, so I think we've thrown out a number of options here that someone can look at.
Jess, next time, please send us a budget.
Yeah, yeah.
We've spiraled.
Yeah, we've literally spiraled and confused the crap out of Jess and any listener.
And ourselves.
100%. I've no idea where we started.
No, what are we doing here?
I don't know. Let's go to tips then, shall we?
Okay, oh, God.
Okay, I have a tip while you think of yours, because I know. I think that if you're going to the beach, one should be beach ready.
Oh, my God.
Okay, this is because Terrence and I went to the beach the other day. It's the first time that the beaches have opened in like a month and a half or whatever. Or month. I don't know how long it's been, but it feels like decades. And we're so excited. It's the first day. We get down there. I've got my brolly. I've got all kinds of snacks, all kinds of food. I'm there for the long haul. And we're there not an hour and 22 minutes and Terrence decides he wants to leave. Why? Because he didn't bring food. You have to bring food to the beach.
Firstly, let's provide some context here. So an hour and 22 minutes on the beach is quite a while. I got a little bit sunburned.
Well, sit under the umbrella.
No, I know, but I also don't have a great umbrella.
It was also 10 o'clock in the morning, so it's not like you got super sunburned.
You should see the tan line on my bum.
Okay, your bum wasn't out.
We went to Sandy Bay, you guys.
No, we did not.
Weird. But I just want to sketch a scene for everyone.
Do you want to?
Remember the last time we went to the beach? You guys, I kid you not, Jules arrives with a full cooler bag.
Yes.
Does she not take out half a Christmas ham?
Did not. It was now, sliced ham.
I want to remind you guys that if you go to the beach, there's sand, right?
Yeah, but if you're an avid beach goer, you don't get sand in your ham.
And
sometimes you do get sand in ham. Sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on how well the day goes, I suppose.
Yeah, if you get dunked, you know. Sometimes you get sand on your ham, you know what I mean?
Like a ham sandwich.
Well, a sandy ham sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
No, rinse it first.
Yeah.
So
you know that I'm talking about a vagina.
That's why I said ham sandwich.
Oh, I didn't. I thought maybe you didn't get
it. You know,
it.
Okay. Vertical smile. I was wildly unprepared, but also I got a bit bored. Like, I've got a, time frame to go to the beach.
That's why I said bring a book and you
also,
didn't start reading.
Cape Town beaches are genuinely quite terrible because the water is so cold.
Oh, but stop being such a turd. Like, you just get in the water. It's amazing. It's refreshing.
No, but if it was Plett, for example, which I know you love.
Yes.
Like, Plett probably has the ideal water temperature.
Yes.
It's just far enough up the coast. And, yeah, like, Port Elizabeth as well.
And Stillby.
And Stillby is still a little bit cold.
Yes, he's such a Vali.
God, shrivels up, eh?
No, you are a Vali of note. Like, you are now Capetonian, so you need to get used to this water. Because
13 years, so I don't think I am. I think the cutoff is like 30 years. Then you can call yourself a Capetonian.
No, 7.
Bloody snobs.
7 years.
Well, it depends
on
who.
So now you're a double Capetonian. Okay, what's your tip? You're digressing.
My tip of the week is, go take snacks to the beach.
No, you cannot use mine.
Quite frankly. My tip of the week is just the tip.
Mm-mm. Of the week. So just chiz it. Hey, we've never done that. We should have done that. That should be our sound.
We definitely have chizzed.
Oh, well, we don't often do it.
Okay.
Okay, so Terrence has no tip. That's our crap this week.
My tip is just the tip.
Oh, but okay. That will ring true with some people.
Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay, that's good. Does she? Hi, Danny Paulina. Hi.
episodes now.
Oh.
So have you noticed I'm swearing a lot less?
Oh, well, no, you saw quite long this one.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. She got a long time to get to episode 29, though. So that's fine. All right. Okay, Terry, well, let's go off. We're going to have a braai, have some chicken wings, some
social
more wine.
Media.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. Okay. Good thing you remind me every time. Okay. So if you want to follow me, I'm at Juliet Maguire Drives on Facebook, at Juliet underscore Maguire on Instagram. And
why do you not just have the same handle for all of them? I've always wanted to ask
you. Do you know
me?
Because some stupid cow has taken the name Juliet Maguire.
You don't know her life. You can't call her a cow.
She is because not one post has she put up in 3 years.
But can you not just message her and say, can I have this handle, please?
I did think that. But I don't know. She didn't respond. Obviously, not on it.
Don't call her a cow in the email, though.
Oh, no, I won't. I'll be like,
I'm just topping up.
I'll be like, hey, bitch. What is the
oh.
No, I would never do such a thing. No one can't do that these days. Or ever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, don't forget, you can get us on at Cars Uncorked across Instagram and Twitter. And
the website, actually.
Like, and the
read
website.
The full, like, proper full reviews
Cars
on the website.
And also, you can actually email us at carsuncorked@gmail.com if you want to chat to us as well.
When last did you check that?
No, mailbox? I'll check it tomorrow then, in case anyone emails us.
Terrence SB everywhere, 1R.
See, that's a weird name. That's why no one else has it.
Okay. We welcome 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we really do. We really do. Okay, bye, Terry. Bye.
Bye. Oh,